This is the Pete Bradley Show podcast, episode 11. Welcome. It's mid-October, and the weather is fantastic. Sunshine, temperatures in the 60s and 70s. In fact, Eric Fisher, he's the meteorologist that I watch on Channel 4. Eric Fisher was saying the other day that it's a boring time for meteorologists. Maybe he should bring a can of paint to work and redo the studio or something. Weather is our focus today. We'll get to that in just a bit. So how you living? I wrote a column in the Standard Times the other day that got a lot of response. I came across a video. I was laying in bed one night. I was going through Facebook, and I was watching, some video and from one of the news channels. And then it just triggered off another video by George Carlin that was fantastic. So I had to watch that and laugh. And then it went to a video of Dr. Rick Rigsby. It was from a website called Goldcast, I think. And he was giving a graduation speech, a commencement speech, where he mentioned how, and he was a very dynamic speaker, he mentioned how he had 4 degrees, but the smartest man he ever knew was a third grade dropout. His dad. And he talked about all the things that his dad taught him and how he helped him through life. And what really registered with me was the fact that Rick said his dad used to ask him quite a bit, "How you living?" Not "How you doing?" which you can say, "Fine." But "How you living? Are you hopeful? Are you fearful? Are you depressed? How you living?" So I wrote about that, and I encourage you to find the video. It is on my Facebook page. A link to it on my Facebook page. I should probably put it here on the website, too. I'll work on that. But it's Dr. Rick Rigsby graduation speech or commencement speech. Just Google that and you will find it. Red Sox and the firing of John Farrell. Well, as I said on Facebook, I would have been surprised if he wasn't fired, I guess. Yeah, the team won the division in back-to-back years, but I do wonder if he lost control of the clubhouse. And he did make some questionable calls during games, don't you think? I mean, as all managers do, leaving pitchers in too long or, a questionable lineup. Something new I've started at PeteBradley.com is daily blogs, or just about every day. I put up a blog, and I encourage you to check that out. No, I'm not asking for clicks. This isn't clickbait. But if you're looking for something to read, you might check in. Just a blog about whatever's going on in life, which is kind of like the morning show was for all those years. Just what's going on in life and a reaction to it. So I try to have a daily blog. So we have the weekly column, we have a weekly podcast, and now hopefully the daily blog. So it's my way of keeping in touch. All right, in focus, we are talking about the weather today. Dean DeVore was on with us about a month ago. It was nice to check in, sort of a where are they now, find out what he's up to. Of course, Dean is no longer heard here in New Bedford. AccuWeather does some work with WBZ in Boston. And also, I think he's on a station in Portland, Maine. But I guess his biggest station, if you ever go down to New York or the New York area, is 1010 Winds. WINS 1010 Winds in New York has Dean doing the weather during the morning drive. They actually fly him in for the 4th of July. Because they do a whole big remote from the waterfront for the Macy's fireworks at the 4th of July. It's kind of cool. When I had Dean on, he enjoyed getting back together and talking to us. And he said that if I wanted to do this on a, sort of semi-regular basis, he'd be open to that. So I thought I would get in touch with him this week. And, I thought, whenever the situation warrants it, whenever something's going on weatherwise, we'll check in with Dean. And I talked to him this week about the winter forecast. Yeah, there's the old Farmer's Almanac, and AccuWeather does come out with a long-range forecast for what kind of winter we can expect. So I asked him, from a scientific point of view, is it guesswork? Do they throw a dart at the wall? Or is there really science involved in how they put this together?
No, I think what our long-range folks do, Pete, is kind of look back and whether it was El Nino versus La Nina. That's the sea surface anomaly that's rooted in the Pacific. And the reason it got that name is it came around Christmas time.
Okay.
And of course, the Christ child is El Niño in Latin jargon. And so folks looked at that, and since that kind of warmth was starting around the Christmas season, they started calling that warmer than normal sea surface temperatures in the Pacific, in the south of the equator, the El Niño. And then they started discovering those sea surface anomalies. And what I'm saying is, whether the sea surface temperature is above or below where its average point is at that given time.
Okay.
And they look at those, and then we also use things called teleconnections, which is, well, if something happens in the Pacific, then an equal and opposite, or equal or opposite, or an equal and could happen somewhere else just down the road in the atmospheric, the way the atmosphere works. And so there's teleconnections between stuff that happens in Asia then going into the United States. So there's all kinds of factors we're looking at. Then once we have those teleconnections and looking at the sea surface anomalies, our folks start to look for what we call analog years. So that means that, okay, so when this was like this and this and this, what was that winter like?
What happened in the past?
Right, exactly. And we look at, you know, okay, well, then this was kind of the similar setup in 85 and 90, da-da-da-da, and then we kind of go from there. So that's kind of how the shorthand version of how that's put together. And then the team, once they make those kind of determinations, then look and then just try to talk about what the overall impacts would be in that area given that situation.
Now, I forgot when you and I used to work together. Are you a fan of the old Farmer's Almanac or not?
Everything.
Is there anything to what they do?
Well, there is. And you know, there are some people that have worked here over the years that actually contribute to the Farmer's Almanac. They have a team of meteorologists. Hmm. And there's been some kind of association with AccuWeather and some folks here at AccuWeather over the years. So, you know, my friend, everything has a tool in life. It is up to us as individuals to determine for ourselves which tools we think are good and which are bad and which, you know, and I think, you know, everybody, it seems like more and more people want us to tell them what to do, what to wear, what to say, you know, what to feel. But, you know, all the kinds of information you get, I mean, there's some good stuff buried in the Farmer's Almanac. The day-to-day forecasting about this versus this and this, you probably can take it with a grain of salt, but something like that might happen in that time frame and just may not happen on the exact date to the thing. So, you know, I think it's all about tool. So am I a fan of it? Yeah, I love it. You know, the Farmer's Almanac and the World Almanac were my kind of nerdy, geeky youth things that probably taught me a lot of useless knowledge that I still have in my head that I can't seem to get out here at this point.
So with all of this said and done here, what is the prediction for the New Bedford area for this year?
Yeah, it looks, we will be flipping the switch here soon. So, you know, we've been certainly in the above average category temperature-wise.
Mm-hmm.
For the last several weeks.
No complaints here, by the way. No complaints.
And this is the new norm, I think, Pete. This is climate change has given us a little bit different way. You know, it seemed like, you know, for a while there, we were kind of gliding from summer to kind of, maybe descending slowly into winter and then ascending back up into summer. But now it feels like it's always just kind of flipping, you know, like we go from hot and then it flips and now we're in the winter, and that looks like it's going to happen. The first flip is coming, looks like middle to end of next week, where some real cold air kind of pushes in, and then that sets us up for more cold air incursions or pushes from the north coming over the lakes. We could have a start with some snow in November in some areas, and then the lake effect area gets a lot of snow, and it looks like we're colder than average. I think this far north, we're looking at or just above average snowfall. Here, as you go a little farther south along the eastern seaboard, not quite as much. Doesn't mean it's not going to be stormy. There's probably going to be some storms coming up along the seaboard. This looks like the cold air comes down into the Great Lakes and kind of locks in more inland than it does along the coast. But it looks like it's going to be a fairly vigorous winter here with storminess. And
I know when you
we'll keep an eye on it.
When you put on Facebook the link to the prediction, the winter prediction, I know I looked at the map and it almost looked like, and it's not like this has never happened before, it almost looked like we were right on the edge. It looked like ski country was going to get a lot of snow and we were going to get rain, and it depended where you live.
Yeah, and the other thing to always take with a grain of salt in that is that those snapshots are kind of just that, snapshots. And so it's hard to talk about. I had a situation where I did something for, and we'll talk a little inside baseball here.
Yeah.
I did something for a station several days after that I had been out when the actual forecast came out, the winter forecast came out. And then I did something, they asked me for something a little more. And when I gave them the numbers that, and I went over with Paul Pastelot, which is a name that if you read our stuff on AccuWeather.com, he's our chief lead long-range forecaster. You know, we had gone over the numbers, and they were like, well, that's not what that was said before about the Midwest. Well, first of all, you know, St. Louis is kind of teetering on the edge of being in the Midwest in the plains. So, I mean, you know, you can't necessarily, you know, go through that. So, again, it's a lot of, you know, kind of a snapshot and highlights. But you're right. I mean, the snow and ice, but you're right, and just to the rain. So that's, again, what I did. I thought I kind of said that. I think along the coast we will see some storminess, but there'll be enough warm air along the coast that most of ours will probably be rain. But you're right. You just go up to the north and west and of us in the inland areas where that colder air will get locked in, and it'll be more snow and ice. And, yeah, this could be a pretty good snow season for the ski areas, which would be good news for them.
I know when I was doing the morning show for years, you know, people used to say, well, it looks like it'll rain on the Cape. But my point was always, well, where does the Cape start? You know, I mean, if you think it starts at the bridge, well, it's going to rain there. If you think it starts at Hyannis, which I know you know a bit about the Cape. You know, it all depends on you know, where that rain snow line is and the interpretation.
I came up with some better, like when talking about that area, you know, in New Bedford, I consider the south coast. And then, you know, as you know, maybe head over the bridge into the Cape, and then the south shore area is Taunton and those areas right along the, you know, the harbor there. And so, but yeah, it can get very tricky, especially in that area. You know, in terms of, you know, a few miles one way or the other, and you can be in the between, you know, a bunch of rain and several inches of snow, and that's for sure.
I was out for a walk the other day, and I ran into my neighbor, and I said, do you remember what the old, you know, folklore was with the woolly bear caterpillars? Because
that's funny, because I've been playing a lot of disc golf, obviously. You probably see that on my... And I've been seeing that, and I meant to start, and I finally did yesterday, taking pictures of them. So I'm going to, when I get up to hopefully 5 or 10, I'm going to publish my results. But yes, I do know that. And there was a guy actually in Pennsylvania, was one of the guys that kind of started that. More fully, I always heard that, you know, they're either black or kind of that brown.
Right.
The more brown, the milder the winter, the blacker throughout the body of the caterpillar, the worse the winter was going to be, is the lore that I heard.
Oh, is that how it goes?
I've been seeing black, brown, black, you know, kind of like a lot of those. And so, you know, maybe that's the fits and starts. We'll have some winter, and then we'll have some spring, and then back to some winter again.
I asked my friend Tim about this, and I, you know, he had never heard about that, but he said that he always go, and he's a hunter, and he likes to fish, and he always goes by how much food is around. And what he means by that is, he said up north, there are a lot of apples on the trees. And he said around here, he hasn't seen that many acorns. Here's it goes by how much food is around and how much the animals store. So his thinking was a lot of snow up north, but not too much down here because the squirrels aren't gathering the acorns. So I don't know if there's anything to that or what. I was thinking about doing a post maybe next week about old wives' tales, you know, things that my mother used to tell me, like if you're if your palm itches, you're going to come into some money, you know? Did you ever hear things like that?
Well, how about my grandma was, the cows are laying down, it's going to rain.
Exactly.
If she saw cows laying down, she was convinced it was going to rain.
Does that factor into your meteorological career now?
maybe not in the AccuWeather one, but, you know, it's funny because I pulled this up to double check as we're talking here, and it's the Farmer's Almanac article on the woolly bear caterpillar and then how you can use them for the winter forecast. The guy's name is actually was based at the American Museum of Natural History, C.H. Curran, Dr. C.H. in 1948. This is how far this goes back.
And did you have it right about the with if there's more brown or orange, you're going to have a mild winter? Let me speed read this.
The medium size.
All right, we'll look it up.
Yeah, look at that up.
We'll look it up.
That'll be your homework assignment.
All right, so to recap here, because I know you've got to go do some business here. To recap, you think it'll be a vigorous winter and what? Snow, rain, cold, what?
I think it's going to be stormy, and I think there will be right on the line snow and rain. I think predominantly along the south coast here, more rain events than snow events, but you don't have to go very far north and west to be more snowy. So I would think, right along the coast itself, probably at or just below normal snowfall levels, and then maybe those numbers in terms of above average snowfall levels ramp up a little bit. We can check in a month or so. This is the kind of forecast. We used to just do one and just leave it, but now we update these monthly. So we can see as we actually get closer to winter.
As you can tell, I work from home. You might have heard my dog Baxter bark in the background. So,
hey, he's saying he doesn't agree.
He just wants to go out.
My friend, it's always good to catch up with you.
All right, Gene, thank you. I will make a note to check back with Dean in November. Well, I leave you with an interesting tweet I read this week. Ken wrote, "Just a thought, it's ironic how all UFOs stops coming around now that everyone has good quality cameras on them at all time." Have a good week, and I'll talk to you soon.